Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, it seems like it was forever and a day ago, but it was just last week, actually. In fact, Thursday night? No, it was Wednesday night. Game 5 was Wednesday night. So this time last week, we were marking the end of baseball and the Dodgers winning their first World Series after a full season since 1988, getting to celebrate with their fans in a ticker tape parade on Friday, which was also Fernando Valenzuela's birthday. I don't know how many of you saw the parade. It was pretty crazy. But Decoy was part of it, Shohei Ohtani's dog. And here's what we found out about Shohei Ohtani. He actually had surgery again. I feel like every offseason, that guy's had surgery of some sort. But he had surgery again, in order to repair what was a partially torn labrum. The Dodgers do believe that he'll be ready in time for spring training. They do believe that he's going to pitch and that is still part of the plan and the reason why they're paying him the $700 million plus, even though a lot of it's backloaded. He'll get the money eventually. But he did have the shoulder surgery, and that was Tuesday. He was playing with a torn labrum, hitting with a torn labrum in the World Series after he suffered that injury when he was diving into second base, trying to steal a base when the Dodgers were up 4-1. Not advisable, not necessary. So he has an injury that he has to recover from again, but the Dodgers are still in really good shape. Their pitching staff should look a lot healthier next season. Of course, they had more than 20 different starters that took the mound for them this year for games, whether regular season or postseason. And so when people tell me that the Dodgers purchased a World Series, I laugh because they're paying, again, in theory, they're paying Shohei $700 million, but he's only getting a lot of that when he's done. But he didn't pitch this year, so they're actually not getting what they paid for this season. They got every bit of him at the plate, and he did go through the World Series injured, but they are paying him to be a dual threat, if you will, and he's not done that yet. Yamamoto spent a lot of time injured. Clayton Kershaw barely pitched. Tony Gonsolin, I could go on and on. Dusty May, is it Dustin? Dustin May. They've had so many different injuries. Mookie Betts was out for a while. Freddie Freeman, World Series MVP, he was in and out of the lineup with a couple of freak injuries and some personal stuff. It was anything but easy. However, they feel like they're in a good shape moving forward into 25. I also saw this tidbit, which is kind of fun. Mookie Betts is going back to the infield for the Dodgers next season. Huge fan of Mookie. If you ever listen to the show, I was a fan of Mookie when he was with the Red Sox as an MVP, and I still can't believe that's the one that got away. There's so many for the Red Sox, actually. But that's another one that got away, the most recent generational iteration of the one that got away for the Boston Red Sox. And he's 32. he was splitting time last season, right? So he was at shortstop at the beginning, and then he was going second base, right field the year before that. They needed to put him into the outfield, and he had broken his hand, and so he was coming out after a couple of months. There's just a lot of different places you could use him, which is great for the team, but also at times can be a detriment to a player. But he is expected to move back into the infield. Now, they don't know if it's going to be second base or shortstop. Imagine having an MVP who can do a variety of things, right? They can plug and play with Mookie Betts, which is amazing.
Well, a lot of people are also saying that could open up the outfield for Mr. Soto.
Come on. No. Are you kidding?
I don't think so. But
I don't think so either.
You cannot rule it out.
That's true. Just because of the fact that they win and the fact that they're the Dodgers and they have a lot of money. But last year on two guys, they committed more than $1 billion. That would be stunning. It is interesting, too, because Juan Soto's agent has come out. Well, we know Juan spoke after the World Series and said that the Yankees really didn't have any type of an advantage. And the numbers that we're hearing, Scott Boras, which automatically means that they're going to go to the highest bidder more than likely. Though there were some Scott Boras clients that were unhappy with that strategy the past couple off seasons, feeling like they missed out on a good deal and missed out on what they believed was a contract commensurate with their experience and a place where they wanted to be. But Scott Boras didn't take it because he felt like he could milk another team for more. That's kind of the issue. When you have an agent like Scott Boras, and I've heard this from front office dudes, when you have an agent like Scott Boras, you pay him to do all of this for you. And very rarely do you cross a Scott Boras. So in many cases, Boras is bigger than the client. Boras is bigger than the player. And in the case of Juan, what is he, 26, about to be 26 years old? And so his team, including Scott Boras, is looking for maybe a 15-year deal. And that's, it's not unheard of, but it's rare. Giancarlo Stanton got 13. Who else got the 13-year deal? Somebody else got a 13-year deal.
Oh, I want to guess that Trout did.
Bryce? Was it Bryce? Not Bryce?
I think Bryce got 10.
Okay.
But we'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely look, because I think there were a couple of players that got 13.
Oh, Bryce was 13.
Oh, it was Bryce. Okay. Those the only two? If you want to Google that and see if those are the only two. We've definitely had guys who've gotten 10, guys who've gotten 11, but the numbers that Boras is looking for, better than $600 million committed to Juan, because he thinks that Juan is not even into the prime of his career yet.
Well, I think the fact that when you have something that no one else has in the player community, in the talent arena, you have the jewel, you have the Mona Lisa of the museum, you have the attraction. You also have somebody that allows for owners to win repeatedly, and yet he has literally 15 years more of his prime to offer.
So that's the beginning of Scott Boras' pitch, which of course is poetic. He believes that Juan Soto has 15 more years to offer. I think that's risky. I'm not saying he can't still be productive. We certainly do see guys like Joey Votto is an example, though he had injuries at the end of his career. You do have guys, Albert Pujols, he was still hitting home runs, the incredible finish to his career that he had. So it is possible. We've got pitchers that have approached the 40-year-old threshold, but it's hard to pay a guy and assume, or I think it should be hard to pay a guy and assume that you're going to get 15 good years out of him. As much as Giancarlo Stanton did produce for the Yankees this year and this postseason specifically to help power them to the World Series before you had Aaron Judge chip in or even Soto, fact is there's a ton of buyer's remorse about that contract. Don't for even one second believe that the Yankees wouldn't have dumped that contract years ago if they could have, because of all the injuries that he has suffered. They would absolutely have been out from under that thing, that albatross, if you will, after they traded for him when he was the MVP with the Marlins, and it just didn't materialize. Too many games on the ILDL, IR, whatever it's called now. So that was a 13-year deal. The guys did their research. 13-year deal also for Bryce Harper, a 14-year deal for Fernando Tatis, and I'm sure that was part of the deal, is we want more. We want the longest contract ever. And then they remind me that Bobby Witt Jr. got 11 with the Kansas City Royals, and there are a handful of 10s, 9s, 10s out there
as well.
There's
a few other 11s, too.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's rare, but it's one of those benchmarks where agents and the Players Association, they want to continue pushing the envelope, if you will. Is there any type of indication how long this could go or where Juan is leaning?
Due to the volume of interest and Juan's desire to hear, I can't put a time frame on it, but it's going to be a very thorough process for him because he wants to meet people personally. He wants to talk with them. He wants to hear from them.
So Juan could maybe end up in a fourth different uniform, drafted by the Nationals, won a World Series with them in 2019, a monstrous performance, then went to San Diego where he was amazing, but they didn't want to pay him, feeling like they weren't going to be able to keep him that way. So he ends up with the Yankees, 1 year left on his deal, right, when he gets traded. Now he's saying it's an open playing field. Scott Boras, though, did mention one particular team, not the Yankees, but the crosstown Mets.
I think the Mets are obviously trying to get to their goal, which is winning a world championship. And I think they've been very clear about pursuing this aggressively.
This is a total side note. It has nothing to do with his ability to run a team or put a roster together. But doesn't David Stearns look like he's about 13?
I was just thinking that, and I think I was telling...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was telling Nico when he was on the screen, I said, this man right here is possibly going to give out a contract that's worth $650 million. It's just remarkable.
It is, and as much as I'm sure he's really good at his job, he does. He's 39, but yeah. he has a very youthful appearance, and he's rather lean and slight, and so he does look younger than that.
It looks 20.
Maybe. Looks 20. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. You want to weigh in, we're doing NFL midseason MVP, but this is David Stearns, who hears, of course, that Scott Boras believes the Mets will be aggressive in pursuing Juan Soto and a World Series.
I certainly think we are pursuing aggressively players that we believe will help us win a World Series, not only this year, but for years to come.
So you want to win the World Series.
Duh.
Accurate.
So you're being definitive here, huh?
Being definitive. Yes.
I like that David Stearns, as a millennial, has a good sense of humor. There's also a big question in Houston. Alex Bregman, he's one of the only remaining dudes there from that 2017 World Series with trash cans. So he and Jose Altuve are still there, right, from that group. Is there anybody else? I can't remember if there's a pitcher maybe that's remaining there that...
I don't think so.
Verlander is back, though yeah. He obviously didn't stay there the whole time. I don't know that there's anybody. Is there anybody else that's still there? They've clean house in their front office, obviously their managerial staff, maybe a pitcher. There might be one starting pitcher other than Verlander.
Of the position players, I believe it's just Altuve and Bregman.
And Bregman is due a payday, I guess. I mean, he's getting older, of course, but he's still one of those guys, a dog that you can put at the top of the lineup. He brings a lot of energy and experience. He can still produce. This past year, 26 homers and 75 RBI. So it's a team, I mean, it's a player, excuse me, that also should draw some interest. He's just 30 years old. A lot of mileage, but also a lot of winning for him as well. And Dana Brown in Houston was asked about the possibility of keeping him in the fold.
We'd love for him to stay here. We feel like, you know, there's a good chance we're going to get something done. And so the conversations back and forth with Scott have been quite interesting.
Oh, Scott,
so,
you say.
We're optimistic.
Scott. Hey, there he is again on MLB Network. Dana Brown talking about the Astros and their optimism. But again, the deal is Scott Boras. There are some general managers, according to our friend David Sampson, who was a longtime Marlins president. He tells us there, including him, there are guys around the league that will not deal with Boras. They won't do it one-on-one. They can't stand it. They feel like it's always disingenuous and you're never getting an honest answer. And it's just, it's slimy. My word, not his. But that's kind of the idea. But if you're a high-profile player and you want to break the market or set the market, he's the guy to do it. But again, you do give up some control when you hire Scott Boras as your client because he's got agendas. He's got a lot of agendas. One of them is getting you a really fat contract, but there are plenty of agendas. And another complaint that comes from players, if you're not one of his bell cows, so to speak, if you're not one of his cash cows, that's probably more appropriate, well, then you don't get the same attention. That's pretty much the case with a lot of agencies. I felt that way early in my career when I signed with an agent and then never heard from him. They'll give you a pitch to get you on the roster so they can say, ooh, look who we've added to our stable. But they, if you're not going to make the money, very often agents won't work for you. Now, you have some that recognize we got to work for him to be able to get those deals, get those contracts. But when you're Scott Boras, it's a completely different stratosphere. The meetings, the GM meetings going on in, don't tell me, Florida, Texas, Phoenix, Chicago. Florida. Yeah, they're usually somewhere sunny this time of the year. So
not Minnesota.
Hey, don't make fun of Minnesota.
Love Minnesota.
Yeah, and the upper Midwest, the winter is terrific. At least that's my experience being from... Half my family from Wisconsin, the other half from the shores of Lake Erie with Lake Effect Snow. So who is your midseason NFL MVP? Mac is listening in Buffalo. What do you think?
Let's see. I think Josh Allen.
Okay.
If he's been mentioned yet. I think the producer said that he hadn't been, but I'm really looking towards Josh Allen with his past performance, midterm. And even over, almost tied with Patrick Mahomes.
For the MVP, or you mean for their record?
MVP.
Gotcha.
Yeah, almost tied with Josh with Mahomes. And the reason I said tied with him is because I think the idea that the Chiefs are 8-0 right now. Is
yes.
that it?
Yes.
I think that's kind of, I don't know, I just feel kind of funny like that. Either they haven't been putting their best foot forward, I don't know.
It's true. No, you're right about that. The offense. Now, the defense has played terrific. The offense hasn't been playing at its highest level. They've had a lot of turnover around Patrick Mahomes, but doesn't that even make them scarier, the fact that they've not played extremely well offensively?
I think they're not going to play extremely well until the 17th of November, actually, against Buffalo. That is going to be a great game. It's Bob to be there because they know that their behinds have to beat the Buffalo Bills in order on the 17th in order to be really, and from my opinion, I'm not a podcast or anything, but in order to be really respectable in the league, they're going to have to beat the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I feel like a lot of teams would say that about the Chiefs. If you're going to be a legit contender, you got to be able to beat the Chiefs because it goes through KC. But I do think the Bills are a challenge, yes.
Thanks a lot.
You're
Bye
welcome.
Now. My opinion.
I appreciate you weighing in. Yes, Josh Allen, definitely an MVP candidate, not only because the Bills may clinch the AFC East in week 10, but because he's over 2,000 yards passing. His completion rate is 64%. Now, big thing with Josh is always about cutting down on the turnovers. That's a huge deal. And look at his numbers right now. Only 2 interceptions to go along with the 17 touchdowns. His passer rating is better than 105. Let me see if I can figure out the fumble numbers because that's something I might be able to just to click on his. They consider that a rushing stat, which is funny because sometimes you're not rushing, you're running for your life. Let's see. I don't see the fumbles. I'll have to find the fumble numbers. But I do know that his turnovers are way down, which is awesome. They needed that from him. They need him to take care of the football. But think about the new pieces around Josh as well in the kind of security blanket and the safety nets that he's lost with different guys going around the league, both offense and defense. He's the one of the old dudes in the locker room now. And yeah, they've weathered most challenges. They're navigating it. The team is coming together a lot better than I think a lot of people expected. And he's Josh. There's a lot to say for his style of play that's so aggressive and in your face, but also just so effective. He's a load, and that's a compliment. Okay, Who is your midseason NFL MVP? At Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. Pete, shall we do a round of knockout?
Sure.
Coming up, Mama said knock you out.
Right.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I am the greatest.
A little something-something that producer Pete cooked up in the producer's kitchen. Mama said knock you out. It's such a great throwback. This is a new feature that we're trying out. I think I might mess it up sometimes, but Pete makes me choose. He makes me choose, and I don't like it when I get backed into a corner, especially when it comes to predictions. So we'll see if I can navigate the this or that. It's a different version of this or that, so I have to knock one of these teams or one of these players or something out, right?
That's right.
I'm knocking one out.
Or statements, yes.
Oh, all right. I can do this.
All right. Dallas Cowboy wins for the rest of 2024.
Oh.
More than five wins or less than five wins, and they play nine more games.
Just to clarify, you mean five more on top of what they have now, not five
yes.
total?
Yes. An additional.
Okay. Gotcha. I like that. An additional five wins. Well, here's the deal. With the tendon pulled off the bone for Dak Prescott, fact is, they could be without him for the next 4 weeks at least. There are some guesstimations that believe he could be out even longer. As much as I think Cooper Rush is a great story, they've got a really difficult part of their schedule coming up. So they're sitting on three right now. That would mean they would be below 500. But they've got Eagles, Commanders, Texans, Eagles, Commanders again. I'm going fewer than five wins. So knocking out the five more wins. I think they'll be below 500 this season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Without a quarterback, you're going to have some problems, obviously. Round two, you need a win in any game coming
up. Any game?
Yes. Regular season. We'll talk about regular season.
So not week 10. Any game.
Your week 10, week 11, week 12.
Gotcha.
Recent game coming up.
Right.
Steelers or Texans?
Steelers. That Mike Tomlin defense is awesome, as usual. Their special teams have actually been special. They've been contributing not just touchdowns, but takeaways, making life difficult on opponents. And have you seen the offensive numbers for Russell Wilson and the offense since... That's funny. The offensive numbers for Russ and the offense. The numbers for Russell Wilson and the offense since he took over, they've actually spiked. Now, can they continue that? I think a lot of it depends on Najee Harris and the offensive line and how much they can run the football. But at this point, I'll take Steelers because I think they're not even playing their best football yet because Russ has only been on the field for two games.
All right, round three. The New York Giants were subject to hard knocks the offseason. Let's go do a double
take. What a waste.
Let's do a double take on the 24 NFL draft.
Okay.
So if you're the New York Giants, you're trading your first and plus for Drake May, or you're doing what they did and draft Neighbors.
I say Neighbors. I say you stick with Neighbors. As much as Drake May has shown great flashes, and certainly they're going to have to start over at some point. There are times when Daniel Jones looks like a serviceable quarterback. I don't think it's all on Daniel. Part of the issue is he doesn't have anyone to throw to. And who's running the ball? And who else is making plays? He came off a really good game this past week, and the defense sucked, right? So it's not all on Daniel Jones. They've got to have playmakers around him. Malik Neighbors, I think, is an offensive game changer. Maybe not as good as Justin Jefferson, but damn close. It probably could be in the upper echelon. So, yeah, they're going to need to address quarterback, but you'd already paid Daniel Jones. I actually think you just go with Neighbors. Get that skill position and make sure that you at least have someone for your new QB to throw to.
Round four, Super Bowl are in the sights for some of these teams.
It's week 10, Pete.
Well, I mean, but we've talked about the top teams across the NFL.
We have.
Outside of the Chiefs. So Would you rather win the Super Bowl? Not would you rather. I'll take that back.
I'll win the Super Bowl, yes. I would rather.
All right. Either one of these options. Win the Super Bowl within 2 years with the Ravens, or win the Super Bowl this year with the Lions. Which one is more likely?
Oh, which one's more likely? Yes. Not which one would I like to do.
I really strong lead in by me on that one.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Lions. I think that the Ravens, I mean, last year being a great example, they are in the AFC, and that is to their detriment. Think about the number of teams in the Western Conference, so the Wild Wild West and the NBA, that might have had a chance at a championship if not for that damn Warrior squad that just kept getting in their way, right? So I honestly think it's not so much about the Ravens. It's more about the Chiefs and the number of other teams in the AFC that can go toe-to-toe with the Ravens. The Lions benefit. Now, their division is pretty tough, but the Lions benefit from having a top-heavy NFC where it's not as strong a competition. Plus, the Lions are prime. They're ready. I mean, the Ravens, they're still trying to work on that defense. I love the Derrick Henry piece. The Lions are solid at every position, even pass rusher now that they bring in. Why is that? Okay. Who they trade for? They just traded for
I'm blanking.
Browns.
I'm blanking.
They just traded for Za'Darius Smith. Yes, I was thinking Preston, but I knew that wasn't right. They just traded for Za'Darius, who wanted out, so he was able to get to the Lions. That was my brain fart. But I'm going to go Lions because I think they're one of those ready-made meals. You pop them in the microwave, boom.
You always want a ready-made meal once in a while. Long-term, Joe Burrow in Cincy or Justin Herbert in L.A.?
Oh, gosh. Justin Herbert, I think he's going to benefit so much from Jim Harbaugh, who not only played the position in the NFL himself, we know what he does. He's a winning coach everywhere he goes, and he's got a formula for sure. It's defense first, but Justin is already raved about, and he talks about how angels sing when Justin walks to practice, right? And as much as I love Joe, I think Joe's amazing. I worry sometimes about these injuries with Joe. Now, Justin's had a few his himself, like fingers things. With Joe, we've seen him miss the better part of two of the four seasons he's been in the NFL. So I don't love that part. But honestly, I think over the top, it's going to be the fact that it's Jim Harbaugh. And now he's got someone who speaks that language. And yeah, so I'll go Justin Herbert.
Knocking out Joe Burrow.
Well, knocking him out, yeah.
All right.
Pow. Kapow.
That'll be it. That's the knockout.
I don't think it's a Mike Tyson type knockout. So I wouldn't say that he had to go, he had to get the 10 count. Because I don't think that Joe Burrow's a slouch, and I do think he's succeeding in Cincinnati. Absolutely. Herbert, though, maybe there's this element to it. We know what Joe Burrow is. I don't know that he can be so much better over the course of his career. This is who he is. He's playing in his prime. If he can stay healthy, he's terrific. I don't think we've seen the best of Justin Herbert yet. The revolving door of coaches and coordinators, and think about every weapon around him on the field changed this year, right? Austin Eckler's gone. Williams is gone. Keenan Allen is gone. I mean, they've changed everything around him, and so I don't think we've actually seen the best of Justin Herbert yet. I still don't think he's peaked, but I do think Joe is peaked. He's in his prime as long as he can stay healthy. I think there's a higher ceiling for Justin that we just haven't gotten to yet. But that's not to say anything about Joe. He's amazing, and he's so much fun to watch. At A-Law Radio, if you want to weigh in on the NFL MVP conversation at midseason, we understand that this is hypothetical, but a lot of fun answers and a couple of dark horses that I appreciate. I'm seeing Saquon Barkley from a bunch of you weighing in. 855-212-4227. We'll get to some QB news. Speaking of Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, we're about to kick off week 10 in the NFL, so your QB news is next. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM This Report is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. Nothing went right for the Browns this year with GM Andrew Berry refusing to get into Deshaun Watson's hold on the starting job after he comes back from his Achilles injury, saying they're only going to focus on his recovery. So looking back on the deal that brought Watson to Cleveland, how would Barry assess the trade and contract?
I'm really not in reflection mode. I think that's probably, I remember I got asked this about, Dobbs last year. It's really more not really my focus at this point in the year.
Meanwhile, Dak Prescott reportedly looking at more than just 4 weeks off, reportedly as part of his hamstring pulled off the bone. Dallas yet to put Dak on IR. Panthers coming off just their second win. Head coach Dave Canales sticking with Bryce Young against the Giants Sunday in Germany.
Bryce will be starting this week. This is about the progress from 1 week to the next. And then I preach finish. I talk about finish all the time. You know, that's finish everything. Finish plays, drives, quarters, halves, finish games. He did a fantastic job of finishing that game.
Checking the NBA, another big night for Kevin Durant.
Jones dribbles over to the right wing. Feeds Durant top of the key. 10 on the shot clock. KD pulls the trigger from 20. He got that one to go, and the Suns retake a four-point lead, 114 to 110. Kevin Durant just being Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant with 32 as the Suns clip the Heat 115-112. Call courtesy of the Suns Radio Network. Rest your scores. Warriors handle the Celtics 118-112. Nuggets outlast the Thunder 124-122 behind another triple-double from Nikola Jokic. Mavericks race the Bulls 119-99. Luka Doncic 27. Clippers roll the Sixers 110-98. Kings lit up the Raptors 122-107. Hawks 121, Knicks 116, Rockets overwhelmed the Spurs 127-100. Grizzlies pound the Lakers 131-114. Anthony Davis sat this one with a foot injury. LeBron James poured in 39 in the loss. Cavs outscored the Pelicans 131-122 as they're now 9-0 on the season. Pacers too much for the Magic 118-111. And the Hornets tip in the Pistons 108-107. College football, Ohio suffocated Kent State 41-0, while Northern Illinois bounced Western Michigan 42-28. And college hoops, UConn, Auburn, Creighton, all easy wins. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Check out our new and improved website at InfinitySportsNet.com. That's InfinitySportsNet.com.
Mahomes gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! City.
Three steps, throwing, Lob, left corner of the end zone, touchdown!
Play action, Lob, looking, winds up, there rainbows, is. Watson there, touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambeau leap!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Our QB News is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. We'll start in the AFC North, but not because that's where Week 10 starts. Instead, Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, facing questions about his team starting 2-7 and obviously the quarterback Deshaun Watson. But he really doesn't want to tip his hand when it comes to Deshaun. I can imagine this is a sore subject inside the Browns facilities.
Really, our focus with Deshaun, I would say for any player with a season-ending injury and a major injury, is first and foremost with the recovery and to make sure that he gets healthy from the Achilles injury. You know, everything else we'll deal with at a later moment.
Everything else, referring to that albatross of a contract. Well, what about what you got from Deshaun before he was hurt?
We haven't played well as a team, and we haven't played well as a unit on offense. And I think oftentimes when you don't play well on offense, obviously your starting quarterback and your play caller will get the most, you will get the most criticism. But the reality of it is offense is, it comes down to organization and synchronization. And, you know, there's just a lot of shared ownership across the different position groups in terms of why we didn't perform.
That's true. And the offensive line deserves a ton of flack. They're a work in progress to be kind. Right now, the Browns are 28th in terms of passing yards, 29th with rushing yards, though Nick Chubb has recently returned. I don't know how much that helps if your O-line is still a mess. They're 28th in points per game, barely over 16. And before Deshaun got hurt, he had the lowest total QB rating of any passer in the NFL that qualifies in terms of how many snaps and how many attempts he's made. They were 1-5 before he got hurt, and yet the team is non-committal, really doesn't want to talk about moving on, and the only reason is because of that contract. You ask anybody about the trade, and it's kind of the same tight-lipped response.
I'm really not in reflection mode. I think that's probably, I remember
painful.
I got asked this about Dobbs last year. It's really more not really my focus at this point in the year. Our focus is really on finishing out the 2024 season, having the team play at a higher level, and then kind of we'll get to like those maybe longer term or big picture reflections at a later point in time.
Maybe. I would think that that is a priority for the offseason, and already fans are engaging in those conversations, but how do you do it? How do you get out from underneath that contract? I talked to Amy Trask about that in our conversation earlier in the show. Definitely check it out on the podcast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now we get to Bengals and Ravens Thursday Night Football. Based on their last meeting or their first meeting this season, Lamar Jackson expects a ton of points on the board.
It's going to be a dogfight. It's a division of game as well. And we already know we just got to score points. That's our job. And that's been the conversation all season long. We have to score points.
Trying to protect that defense until it finds its footing, if you will. Yeah, 41-38 was the final in OT, if I remember correctly. So you could potentially expect a bunch of points. At the same time, looking at the fact that neither defense is playing at a high level all the time. So, yeah, that's kind of the strategy to win this game on a Thursday night. As for the chemistry with Deontay Johnson, this is something a lot of quarterbacks are going through now as they get new additions to their wide receiver core. How will Lamar find that?
I feel like me just bit of chemistry with him would be second to none. You know, I feel like any guy who comes to the team or whoever I'm working with is going to be second to none just because I got a feel for the game. And I believe so with those guys because they're in the NFL.
Yeah, they're pros is what he's saying. And certainly what we've seen from the quarterbacks around the league who've absorbed new receivers, Josh Allen with Amari Cooper. Now, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers had a pre-existing relationship, so that matters. Of course, we're blown away by DeAndre Hopkins and Patrick Mahomes. When was the last time he had a threat like this one? And we'll get to Pat coming up. But yeah, how quickly can they get Deontay Johnson assimilated so they have another option alongside Zay Flowers? Joe Burrow, short work week. We've heard him talk about this before. He doesn't get real excited about short work weeks.
You know what you're going to see. You know the patterns of the coverages and the safeties. You know for the most part what works well, what doesn't. And so you can put in maybe a little more than you usually would playing a new team where it's a divisional opponent. You know the defense, so then you can put more in on a short week game plan wise.
Right now, the Bengals are below 500, though they're surging. Could Joe Burrow be a dark horse MVP in that same division? Top five in completion percentage, passing yards, passing touchdowns as well. And the fact that they rely on him so much, there's a lot of extra responsibility on his shoulders because of the defense. All right, we mentioned Patrick Mahomes. The ankle injury looked concerning. He said it scared him a little bit at the time, but now a couple days later, how's he feeling?
He's doing good, obviously when you have a little bit of a roll, it's a little bit of sore, but I'm able to move around and look forward to getting out of practice and seeing how I can push it as the week goes on.
Doesn't expect to be limited. This is Sunday against the Denver Broncos, a team that's got 5 wins inside the AFC West. Meanwhile, as you know, the Chiefs are 8-0. Shifting our attention to the NFC, where the Panthers are not 8-0. But Dave Canales is sticking with his second-year QB, so Bryce Young will be out there against the Giants.
This is about the progress from one week to the next, and then I preach finish. I talk about finish all the time. That's finish everything. Finish plays, drives, quarters, halves, finish games. He did a fantastic job of finishing that game the right way, finding a way to win, and really battling that way. So I was really proud of Bryce for that, and, just took all the information in and wanted to give him another opportunity to get out there and face the Giants this week in Germany.
Feeling more comfortable in the offense. Just grateful for the reps I'm able to get. Just the experience of being out there in this system. Just the more I'm able to experience stuff, I feel more and more comfortable. I think that's definitely going to continue to grow and build off of.
Something that stands out to me is three times against the Saints, we had a Bryce Young touchdown drive that led to them taking the lead, right? So he's engineering those in the clutch situations. Of course, we know he did that a ton when he was in college, but to do it, something we haven't seen from him a bunch at the NFL level is huge. Three times, they fell behind three times. He pushed the Panthers down the field, and this is a bit of a reward, right, for his growth. And maybe it just took some time with Dave Canales. We know what Dave did last year with the Bucs offense and helping Baker Mayfield get settled in again and feel like he was kind of getting a fresh start in his career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Caleb Williams, this year's number one overall pick, Bryce Young last year. And he's trying to find a chemistry with DJ Moore, a receiver that they really need to have strong production if they're going to spark their offense.
Obviously, it's not in a place from the past games. A place where we would like it, both of us. It's frustrating because you got a guy so special and not being able to connect and hit on certain passes is frustrating for myself. And I know it's frustrating for him because as a wide receiver especially, you only get but so many chances, so many times the ball comes your way in a game and things like that. So, I wouldn't put it past him that it's frustrating. But we got to figure it out. That's the whole point about football. Is figuring out why things are certain ways and finding ways to overcome or get better at them.
Right now, he's got just one game in which he's had over 100 yards receiving. He's coming off a career year in Chicago, but think about last year. They didn't have Caleb Williams. Different quarterbacks. Justin Fields was in there some of the time. Hey, producer Pete, think about this for a minute. We'll come back to it. How many quarterbacks do you think DJ Moore has played with over the course of his career? Obviously, not all in Chicago. So think about that for a second. As for DJ, right, what does it take to be able to settle in and find that rhythm with your quarterback since this is the guy now?
Just knowing who we're going against, the one-on-one matchups that we might have throughout the game, and then understanding on the back end the reads and where we're at in situations, where he's going through the read and how fast I got to be or how slow I got to be to stay in his vision, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the little details I can think of.
But why is it taking so long? I mean, I feel like that's an unfair question because DJ can only do so much, but he is a veteran. Caleb's a rookie, and so you would expect that there would be a little bit more reliance on a guy who's been around the league.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, just reps. You can say Justin had more reps than when I got here than me and Caleb have. Just him being a rookie quarterback, and Justin wasn't a rookie quarterback last year.
That's true. Justin Fields, his history in Chicago is fraught with some frustration on both sides, the Bears as well as Justin Fields, but he wasn't a rookie, and Caleb's still figuring it out, and there are people that would point to things that Caleb needs to do better, footwork and what he's doing with his eyes and all that kind of stuff. So you see the analysis and the tape of Caleb Williams, and we know that rookies have a lot to learn. So what do you think? Between the 5 years in Chicago and, I'm sorry, 5 years in Carolina, two in Chicago, how many QBs, Pete?
I'm going to say six.
How about more than double that? 13 different quarterbacks. Isn't that insane?
That's ridiculous. That's an indictment on both those organizations and
yet
how terrible they are.
Multiple 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, that's...
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You might want to put him in the Hall of Fame just for that. That's totally ridiculous.
Now, I could count the number from Terry McLaurin. I don't think it's been quite as many because he's not been in the league as long and he's only been in D.C. But, yeah, you forget that Justin Jefferson, how many different quarterbacks he's had throwing him the ball. Or was Kirk, maybe Kirk predated him when he got there.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, so if you think about some of the different Mike Evans came to mind, too. I'm so happy that Mike Evans finally got Tom Brady and now Baker Mayfield, although I know he's injured until after the bye. 13 different quarterbacks in seven seasons. That is redonkulous. Or, as Shaq would say, horror awful. Oh, no, is that Barkley? Shaq or Barkley says horror awful. Horror awful.
It sounds like a Barkley.
At Amy After Hours, who is your NFL midseason MVP? Also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.